Welcome back to a mental health break with Vincent A. Lancy. I'm Vincent A. Lancy, speaker, coach, and author of the book Left 4 Dead, A Story of Redemption.
And I'm Jennifer Webb, state representative for Florida's 69th District over in Southwest Pinellas County. And I also am an advocate for mental health and cognitive health.
Thank you for joining us, Jennifer. When I was 21 years old, I was the victim of a hit-and-run accident while walking home from a friend's birthday. After coming out of a coma and suffering from a traumatic brain injury, or you may know of as a TBI, I soon realized that it was time to put my mental health on a very high pedestal. This transformative experience has led me to create a podcast that is all things mental health. Would it add value to your life to hear mental health professionals and advocates share their authentic stories related to mental health? If you answered yes, you came to the right place. I want to start by congratulating you for making your mental health a priority. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate the show 5 stars and continue listening by subscribing. On this episode, I am happy to introduce my guest, Florida District 69 State Representative Jennifer Webb. I was introduced to today's guest through one of my close friends, Robin, at TGH. Jennifer fights for Florida's families and local businesses. She strives in each session and with each piece of legislation that she sponsors to make a real difference in the lives of her neighbors. She works tirelessly to find common sense solutions that will garner strong support from both Republicans and Democrats. This is in part why she was voted one of the most successful freshman legislators. She also has a burning passion to break down mental health stigmas, so I had to have her on the show to make a difference together. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Vincent. I'm really excited to be here. My passion for mental health advocacy is seated in my own personal story. 7 years ago, my baby sister committed suicide as we were running towards her to save her life. She was addicted to opioids and also had hit a patch of despair and depression. And that really instilled in me the desire to make a difference. I've also had my own struggles and have been sober now for 21 years and clean. And along with that, I really take great pains to take care of my own mental and emotional well-being and make sure that I'm on the bright side of things, right? Instead of in the shadows, because, you know, depression is something that a lot of people do struggle with.
Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm really excited for you to add value from those perspectives today. Thank you for the courage for coming on the show. On each episode, I share the mental health story of someone who is famous because I want to let you, the listeners, know you are not alone. I want you to understand that even though someone looks like they're healthy from the outside, they may not be on the inside too. For today's episode, I will introduce the mental health related story of American hero and Olympian Simone Biles. Simone made headlines a few years ago, winning medals at the Olympics. She also stands proud for and discusses her diagnosis of ADHD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. This all came to public light after a hacker released her medical records to the world. She ended up tweeting, quote, "Having ADHD and taking medicine for it is nothing to be ashamed of, nothing that I'm afraid to let people know." The hacker who released her medical records aimed for Biles to be shamed for use of, quote, "illicit drugs." Mm-hmm. No surprise here, Simone did not let that happen. In another tweet, she said, quote, "I have ADHD and I have taken medicine for it since I was a kid. Please know, I believe in a clean sport, have always followed the rules, and will continue to do so as fair play is critical to sport and very important to me." Jennifer, what do you like best about this story?
I like that she pushed back and that she made it about, and that she made it a balance of like taking care of her own mental health and cognitive health, and that's not a contradiction to having a fair sport, you know, and shame on the person for trying to make it sound like she was doing something wrong or shameful or antithetical to like the passion and of good sportsmanship that competitors at her level really advocate.
Absolutely. And she's such a great person where people take it out of context that she's using this drug, but it's her medicine. And we live in a world where you have some depression or ADHD and you take medicine, you're looked down upon. But if you break your hand, you can take a week off work, go get it checked out, relax. But this is an issue.
Yeah, and I think that's so important that people, you know, and I love that she spoke specifically about medicine, to your point, because oftentimes I think that people are maybe wary of taking medicine, prescription medicine for depression, anxiety, other things. And sometimes that's exactly the right combination of support that the person needs, you know, that plus talk therapy or whatever. And I believe that people should be able to get the support and the help that they need. And that's between them and their doctor.
I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that great insight. I agree with you 100% there. Everybody is different. What works for some people doesn't work for everybody. And I think that's very important to at least have the conversation with a doctor, because especially in a time like this.
Yes, absolutely. And what's cool is now, because we passed some telemedicine legislation, yeah, you can actually have a conversation with your psychiatrist or your primary care physician through the computer. You don't even have to go in, and you can also do like management of your medicine, mm-hmm, through that, through telemedicine instead of going in. So it's never been easier to get the help that you need.
Absolutely. And it played a role for me during the pandemic. I used the service as well. So I think this is a great time now to get into the main event, Jennifer. On each episode, my guest and I will go over this series of 6 questions to help others improve their mental health. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Many would agree that the more common or at least talked about types of mental health disparities are mood disorders, anxiety disorders, or schizophrenia disorders. What areas did you come across the most?
I've come across, well, in doing my legislative work and in talking to constituents, a lot of mood disorders and anxiety disorders, especially right now, because of the uncertainty of the world around us and all, yeah, of the stress of that uncertainty, that it bears down on even people who generally have really good coping mechanisms or just scrambling with their feet under them to get to solid ground. So right now, those two. However, that being said, like, people who are most memorable to me are, of course, people with like schizophrenia and other more kind of serious mental health illnesses, because they just are more indelible on my memory, and getting them the right support can be trickier than for anxiety or depression.
Absolutely. I think those are the more talked about ones, because mental health and all this information is so new still. Granted, 5-10 years ago, there was nothing, and now we're making strides. So I think conversations like ours are going to open up the doors for those mental disparities to be at least have a conversation about, because I know that firsthand experience is something that always helps me in every part of life. So this type of conversation is my goal for that.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've had some experiences relating to mental health with family members, yourself, and in legislature. When did you first decide that a career relating to mental health, taking a stance on that part of it, was going to be the right one for you?
I love that question, because long before I decided to run for office, I mean, like, one of my first jobs out of college, I served in AmeriCorps. And I worked with kids who were phasing out of Department of Children and Family Services, or who were homeless and coming in off the streets. And quite a few of those kids, their teens, 16 to 24-year-olds, had mood disorders. One had schizophrenia. And other issues. And I loved working with those teens. I loved working with that population. I loved the kind of honesty that I had, because these were kids who are more apt to tell me to go F myself than thank you. And I was okay with that. But because the level of honesty and transparency that you have to operate with in order to keep teens like that feeling safe, is like, and so that they can trust you, so that you can develop that relationship, so that you can have a positive impact on their life, is really high. And so ever since then, I've always sought to be of service in that arena. And honestly, it's because of my own experience, you know, addiction and alcoholism run in my family. I joke with people, I say I was born on a Wednesday. I'm just naturally kind of more of a depressed person. So Wednesday's child is full of woe. So that's why I say, oh, I was born on a Wednesday. Because I just, you know, that's my natural affectation is, and people don't believe it, because, you know, I smile a lot and I'm really kind and I love people, but I also have the side of what did Churchill called it? The dog days or
something
black
like
dog days or something like that. Yeah, and that's true for me as well. And I wanted to share my experiences with others and help other people, I don't know, be better advocates for themselves, not be scared of whatever they're going through, so that they could just meet themselves where they were and that they knew it was okay, that there's no such thing as like normal, you know, that there's a wide variety of what normal is, and it's what works for you, and just like all of those things. And so that's also what I try and pull into my legislation. Like, you know, I think it's really important not criminalizing mental health issues, right? And my predecessor did a lot of work around that. However, a lot of our support is backloaded onto the justice system. So you don't actually, you know, like it, you don't get an intervention until you see a law enforcement officer. Well, that's crazy. Like I want to deal with it when it's still a health concern, mm-hmm. you know, when people are still just trying to struggling to figure out where they can get help. And I think that once we move our interventions up and are able to meet people, like when they are first like, hey, something's not, you know, I'm just struggling lately. Before the suicide attempt, before the, you know, antisocial behavior, before any of that starts, then we can create a healthier community.
Well, you're doing such a great job at breaking down these stigmas. I'm very proud to have you on the show because you're trying so many different ways to give back and you're courageous enough to share your story. And you have a platform where your audience can hear that message. People that look up to you, they're going to take that a long way. But what advice can you give to everybody listening on as to what may be considered a potential early sign that they may be developing some form of mental disparity, that they might need to be paying a little more attention to their mental health?
This is a hard question for me to answer because I'm not a mental health professional. Yeah. But what I will say is I spent all of August focusing on bringing in experts in the mental health arena and answering this question. And so I'll tell you what they said and what I thought was helpful.
Yes, please.
If life's not working for you, go and see somebody who can help guide you out of the forest. You know, I mean, like, just,
and
it doesn't mean that you have to commit off the bat to seeing a social worker or a psychologist or a psychiatrist. It could just mean that they're just skilled people and they can help you figure out what the least intrusive way, the least restrictive way of getting help for yourself would be. So that might just be, you know, talk therapy once a week where somebody just says like, you know, like what's going on and helps you kind of organize it and problem solve to more intense interventions. I mean, there's so much out there. And so one is like, if you're relying on, you know, alcohol or drugs to get you through this time, particularly as like this COVID pandemic economic downturn, and you've noticed that you've been drinking a lot more or using drugs more than you have in the past, and that it feels like a crutch and you're uncomfortable with it, like reach out and get help. If you have noticed that you have more down days than days where you feel okay, and that happens for, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks, like go and talk to somebody. And don't let the fact that you're under or uninsured impede you, because there's lots of resources for people who are un and underinsured. So everyone has a right to have mental health care and or access to mental health care. So those are the two things, honestly, that I would say, like, hey, or if your spouse is like, you know, giving you feedback, if you're somebody who isn't necessarily very self-reflective, so figuring out if you have more down days than up days is not your cup of tea. If your wife or your husband or your kids are like, hey, we've noticed this over a while, like, pause and just think about it. Have you been happy? You know, have you been fulfilled? Do you need to maybe talk to somebody and have them help you figure out how to get back on the path and out of the woods? Yeah, those are the three things that I would suggest.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's why it's always nice for me to have mental health advocates on the show, as well as doctors and professionals, because it gives those two different perspectives, people going through it, and then the little more detailed input. So thank you for that. But if you could pick three, and I say only three, Jennifer, because I want the three most important things our listeners can do on a short-term or daily basis to improve their mental health, what can you offer? What's worked for you?
Okay, so I've been thinking a lot about this because of COVID, right? So this is really specific to this time because I think we've all been kind of struggling. One is if you find yourself feeling blue or down, like connect with gratitude. It's like a shortcut for me for like reorienting my internal terrain to being a little sunnier. The second is, three things. Develop a schedule for yourself and how to intentionally bring joy to your days. So if exercise brings you joy, like pencil that into your schedule and give yourself a schedule. You know, I think a lot of us have been, I've been guilty of it, rolling out of bed, walking 10 steps to my desk and sitting there behind a computer for like 10, 12, 16 hours a day, and then wondering why I feel unfulfilled and down and blue. Like, well, yeah, I haven't done anything that brings me like joy and love and excitement. And then the third thing is connect with friends. In some sort of way, figure out how to do that. Humans are social creatures. Even those of us like myself, who's an introvert. I mean, I thought the first month of lockdown was like a gift from God, honestly, because I am an introvert. And I was like, oh, this is so like, it's feeding my soul. You know, I get to like really focus, like just, I don't know, like revive myself, especially coming out of the legislative session, which is go, go, go. You know, being around people constantly and a lot of output, I was like, ooh, I get some input. But after a month, I was like, even this introvert, I'm like, oh my goodness, I crave people, I crave hugs, I crave human interaction, you know, I mean, all of the good stuff. And so build that in. So those are the three things that I would say.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to staring at the computer for too many hours to count, losing track, and I try to be more mindful of it. I love what you said about doing things you're passionate about. In my book that's coming out, Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health, there's a part emphasizing taking breaks throughout the day as well as one day a week. And now I'm very strict on it, more so than in the past, where I give one day per week to do something I truly enjoy and I'm passionate about. Football season's here, so now it's Sunday to usually watch the Jets lose, but that is my day for myself. And that's something, because I'm guilty, and I'm sure you can resonate, where you're staring at a computer, you're working for so many hours and you just don't want to get up. But that break really revives you, rejuvenates me. And if I don't do heavy lifting, I have some, my broken tib fib, I have the rod in my leg, so I've never done squats or things, but I'll always do 30 minutes of ab workouts or something, because those endorphins in my brain, they make me think clear. I don't have those bad thoughts, and it really works for me.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned the endorphins and physical activity. What I think that, and I'm hoping that people are really starting to get this, is that even if you don't identify as somebody who's particularly active, even when you're, I mean, I know I used to go to my office and I would walk from my car to my office and walk up the stairs, walk around my office, say hi to people. Yeah. I would get back in my car, go somewhere else, get out of my car, walk and walk. I did naturally a lot of walking in my day. And since COVID, and my spouse is in the high risk category, so I've really been being careful about going out and being around people. I haven't even been doing that much walking. And so intentionally getting out at noon and taking a walk, or in the morning taking a walk, whatever it is, to just, you know, get my blood pumping and to change my scenery. Yeah.
I love that people hear exercise and they think just weightlifting, but you can go for a 30-minute walk, and you also check off that nature bucket, where natural sunlight is very good for you. It improves your mood. It's proven science, you know, mood elevator. So those are definitely great short-term initiatives, Jennifer. Thank you for that. So we just spoke about some short-term initiatives that our listeners can start to create a more positive mental headspace with. Let's delve a little deeper here. What are two longer-term commitments our listeners can make to create a healthier mindset?
Honestly, I think that the schedule is a longer-term initiative. Because any changes, so if you're right now starting from a place where you're blue and your life feels kind of chaotic and you don't really have the energy to expend to start, I mean, because it takes energy to start a new habit, you know? And so we've just set three new habits. I would do like, you know, the first, just do one thing different. Whether that's having dinner with your family and sitting down and doing intentionally and having that time be a time of coming together. And then once that feels second nature, because I think how people are experiencing right now is everything feels like a lot of effort. You know, it's like, oh, all I need is a new, like, all I need is a schedule that works for me. Like, that sounds like so much. And so just do one thing at a time. And once that one thing becomes second nature, then implement something else that you want to do.
I like that. Yeah.
So I would say that that's a longer or mid-range term thing. I think you were talking about taking breaks. Like, I meditate, or breathe. Sometimes I just have to think of it as breathing because I think meditative and I'm like, oh, I'm not that holy, you know, like, like that's so like, you know, that's like a nun on a mountaintop or something. But like, even just like taking time throughout the day between tasks to sit and intentionally breathe, get a glass of water. Doing these helpful activities and recentering the focus on yourself and then taking stock. How are you feeling at the end of the day? Has it helped? Has it not? You know, I'm a big believer of do what works for you. Yeah. You know, like there's no right way. There's definitely things that are less helpful than other things, but there's a whole host of things that are super helpful.
Yeah, I understand. I agree.
But they're not all helpful for every single person and you can go overboard. So just like pick one thing, integrate it over time. And then see how you feel at the end of the day. If it's working for you, awesome. If it's not, that's awesome too. That's more information and you can try something else.
Absolutely. I think mental health relates to business in a lot of ways. The way I do it, it's the little things you do, right? Like reading every day for 30 minutes, just little habits, because I know it improves my business and my mental health, and just got to stay positive and the thoughts go a long way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But Jennifer, I'm excited for this question now. We've gone through almost the whole show. What are some ways you're going to continue to raise awareness for the importance of mental health?
So I have done a mental health series for the past, during August, I did like 5 weeks, five Wednesday and week after week on focusing on mental health or behavioral health. I'm really excited because I talked to you about coming on. What I realized when I spoke to Vincent is that I think a lot of times when people think of mental health, they think of women and children. They don't necessarily think of guys, or they'll think of people with specific mental health or behavioral health challenges. Like if you're an addict or alcoholic, if you're, you know, a schizophrenic, or if you have these issues. But I think that it really, we under focus on men's mental health. And so I want to do at least one or two things on men's mental health. I'll continue. My first term in office, one of my bills was executive ordered to create the Office of Drug Abuse and Prevention. A second bill focusing on juvenile Baker Acts and making sure that we're only Baker Acting the kids who really need it, because that's such an intense intervention, right? And it can be damaging if you don't need it. I'm going to pick that legislation back up this year. And I also want to do a mental health parity bill to make sure that folks have access to mental health and that it's covered at the same level that we cover physical health care. Because I know that a lot of people that I talk to who have mental health challenges or other things, like they might have health insurance, but their health insurance doesn't cover hardly anything when it comes to mental health. And it's like, oh, so yep. Like I don't get the flu, I get a depressive episode, or I don't get, you know, a strep throat, I get stressed out. Like, and there's not the same kind of coverage. And so I'm really interested in how we can create parity there. And then finally, this is the first time that I've even alluded to my story. in public space. And I know that there's different initiatives. Like people know about my sister. People know that I'm sober. They don't know that I have my whole life like kind of battled with depression. But I would love to start talking more about that. And being an open door for people, and in a place where people can get resources. And so that's what I'm gonna commit to doing.
Well, Jennifer, all that sounds incredible, a huge role model for the communities you live in as the figure you are in the community and your role. A lot of people are looking up to you throughout the day, every move you make. And when kids are gonna hear that it's okay to have these feelings, which was a big goal for my book too. Just this book I'm putting out is a prequel, if you will, to a children's book series. The experts in this book, there's a children's series we created based off this book. I want these kids to know that it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to have feelings, because this COVID situation, we forget that the children in our lives, they have emotions and feelings too, and their whole life is out of their hands pretty much to the adult figures in their lives. So they are going crazy. So that is going to be incredible work for the community. I'm excited to see that.
Well, and I can't wait to read your book, because I love the idea that emotions are okay and that different emotional terrains are just different. They're not better or worse. They're just our own personal journey and way of viewing the world around us. And it's good to know yourself, right? Like, I think that's a lot of what we've been talking about, is just like get to know yourself and get to know what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and develop that honest dialogue with yourself. And be okay to share it. And I love this. So thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm just doing my part, as you are, to break down these stigmas, and we're on our way to doing so. But Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know our listeners are going to see all the value. I especially love your answer to number 6 of all these initiatives you're working on. I loved how you emphasized having a schedule, because that's something I resonate with too. It keeps me on track and focused. And I loved how you just took a difficult situation, a bunch of adversity on a bunch of angles, and you transformed it into this powerful stage you're on, making a large difference. But it is time for the last word. And I do this on my other podcast series too, which is what it's really like to be an entrepreneur, because I want our listeners to really get to know the guests I bring on. Is there something you would like to share with everybody that we did not touch on yet today?
If you or somebody that you know needs help, like, please reach out. And a lot of organizations in Pinellas County, and I'm sure in Hillsborough County as well, have no wrong door policies. So if you just call, you know, one of the health offices and say like, hey, I've been struggling with depression, or I'm worried about my spouse's drinking, or whatever it is, like, it's confidential. They'll find you the help that you need, and you're not alone. Like, this is a hard time for folks. It's unbelievably hard. And I know that I have a big smile on my face, because that's one of my coping mechanisms, is to smile at adversity. But it is unbelievably hard. And for those of us who do struggle with mental health issues or behavioral health concerns, it's particularly hard. So know that you're not alone, but also there's steps that you can take that'll just help you get on solid footing and be easy on yourself, right? Don't be hard on yourself. If you have a down day, it's just one day. You can start over tomorrow. You can take a nap during lunch or close your eyes for 5 minutes and say, okay, from this point forward, like, it's, and just be kind to yourself, especially right now.
I love that. Every dark day just means that there's a bright day ahead. Would you mind please sharing your professional social media, the website, ways for our listeners to follow your endeavors?
Sure. It's at Jennifer Webb FL. That's my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, I think. And my email is jennifer.webb@myfloridahouse.gov. And then my cell phone, I share it with everyone. 727-320-6275. So if I can be helpful, you can reach me in any of those 3 ways.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for sharing all that. Be sure to check out her content, and it is social media time for the show as well. And we're on whichever platform you like to use. We're on LinkedIn at A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancy. On Instagram and Facebook is A Mental Health Break. And on Twitter, we're Podcasts by Lancy. So you have updates from this show and what it's really like to be an entrepreneur. I'm Vincent A. Lancey on all social media and YouTube, and my website is vincentalancey.com. If you check out my books, DM me. I would love to hear from you all. We have Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health, Left for Dead, A Story of Redemption, and How to Transform Your Mindset When the Norm is Changed, all on my website now. If you liked today's episode, please continue listening and rate A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey 5 stars. I work hard to find value delivering guests each episode. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you all on the next episode of A Mental Health Break with Vincent A. Lancey.